Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you're on a difficult journey, it can make a big difference if you know that what lies ahead is worth it. We see examples of this in the Bible. For example, while the Israelites wandered for 40 years in the desert, they were spurred on by God's promises of the good land he would one day bless them with. We also see examples of this in later history. For example, when people from Europe began crossing the ocean to settle in North America, they were encouraged by the reports they'd heard of the land and the opportunities they'd find here. The anticipation of what lay ahead gave them the motivation to go through with the difficult journey. You might also have seen something like this in your own life. To offer just one example, when you're hiking in the mountains, making your way up a long, difficult trail, it can be tempting at times to turn around and go back. But one thing that can really help is when you meet people coming back down the trail who've been to the end and have seen what's awaiting you there, and who encourage you to keep going, assuring you that what you'll see at the end will make the journey worthwhile. In this morning's epistle reading from Revelation, John is writing to people going through a very difficult journey. Being a follower of Christ in the first century is not easy. They face pressure and enticement to conform to the ways of the pagan world they live in. And many were experiencing isolation and persecution for their dedication to Jesus Christ. This journey they are on, this walk of faith they are on, is not an easy one. It can at times be tempting to simply give up and give in to the ways of the world. To those people, John is writing with a message of encouragement. And for those people, the Lord gives John a vision to share, a vision to show them what lies ahead, to show them what waits for them at the end of this journey really will make it all worthwhile. In last week's reading from Revelation, John described the peace and joy of heaven, which believers in Christ enter into immediately after passing from this life. In this morning's reading from Revelation, John is shown what awaits us not simply after our life on this earth has run its course, but after the earth itself has run its course. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." A new heaven and a new earth. In other words, what John sees is a whole new creation. From the earth itself to everything above and beyond the earth, everything is made new. Everything is made exactly as it is supposed to be, exactly as God has always intended for his creation. In this new creation, some of the things we'll see will be familiar. We will see one another, all people in heaven, and all believers in Christ who remain alive at the time of Christ's return will be there. And we will be there in both body and soul. We say in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." And we say in the Nicene Creed, "I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." But most of us probably don't think very often about what we're really saying in those words, about the hope that is embedded in those words. Jesus pointed us to that hope when he said in the 6th chapter of John, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." In 1 Corinthians, Paul describes it this way. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." And Paul also tells us something about how we will be changed, saying, "The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory." It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. So we will see one another and all who have gone before us in the faith. We will live together in God's new creation in resurrected, glorified bodies. We won't be only spirits, but we will be whole and complete, together in body and soul, able to hold hands, embrace one another, dance together, and eat and drink at the Lord's table together. We will be living in the bodies our Creator lovingly knit together for us, and at that time and forevermore, those bodies will be glorious and incorruptible. And that means some things we are familiar with in this creation will no longer be with us in the new creation, and we will not miss them. There will be no arthritis, no diabetes, no Parkinson's, no loss of hearing or vision, no depression, no cancer, no back pain, no pain or disability. As we heard this morning in God's revelation to St. John, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. The tears of the lonely will be wiped away. The tears of the abused will be wiped away. The tears of the oppressed, the bullied, the confused, the ridiculed, the outcast, the worn down. Every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. And we will never weep or hurt again. And the absence of tears and pain means that we know there will be some other things missing in this new creation as well. There will be no bombs. There will be no sons or daughters lost in war. There will be no floods, tornadoes, or wildfires, no natural disasters. There will be no crimes. There will be no prisons, no need for prisons. There will be no racism or sexism. There will be no sin. There will be no sin by which we hurt others, and there will be no sin by which others hurt us. But of all the things we know will be there, and all the things we know won't be there, the most important for us to know is this: our Lord will be there with us. As John is being shown a vision of the new heavens and the new earth, he is told, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Paradise would not be paradise if our Lord were not there with us, but he will be there. The one who knew you and loved you and had good plans for you even before you came into being will be there with you. The one who lovingly knit you together in your mother's womb and who is the giver of every good gift you've enjoyed in this life will be there with you. The one who alone knows as you really are, including all your sins, and yet has never given up on you, but has loved you with an undying love, will be there with you. The one who willingly humbled himself and suffered death on a cross to save you from your sins will be there with you. The one who rose on the third day to show that he has overcome the powers of sin, death, and hell for you will be there with you. He will be there with you, and he will rejoice that you are there with him. He will rejoice to see you enjoying the paradise that he gave his life to obtain for you, and which he freely gives you. As we heard in our reading, the Lord said to John, "Behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." He who has always been and will always be will freely give us an eternal inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. To the thirsty, he will give life-giving water without payment, without cost to us. because Christ himself has paid the full price for us. And you can count on this, for all his words are trustworthy and true, and he has the words of eternal life. When you're on a difficult journey, it can make a big difference if someone who's already seen your destination can be there to encourage you by telling you that it's worth it and not to give up. That is why our Lord gave John this revelation of what awaits us, so that by sharing this revelation with us, John could say to the weary first century Christians and to weary 21st century Christians, I've seen what lies ahead at the end of this journey, and believe me, it is worth it. Don't give up. In the saving name of Jesus, who never gives up on you and who makes all things new by his grace, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.